We continue our series in the book of Acts this morning. We're in chapter 9. This is page 917 in the Pew Bibles before you, if you want to turn there with me. Before we begin, let us pray for our time in the Word. Lord God, your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now, last week we saw the dramatic conversion of Saul from persecutor to disciple. And today we see the beginning of his ministry. He's still in Damascus, and he begins his work by going to the Jewish synagogue there. And this will be his pattern in every town that he visits from now on. He goes to the synagogue first. He starts with the people who are already looking for the Messiah. And his message is simple. It's summarized in verse 20. He proclaimed Jesus, saying, "He is the Son of God." And again in verse 22, he was proving that Jesus was the Christ. So Saul's first sermons had one main point. Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. And that's really the gospel boiled down to its simplest terms. Now, we're so used to having those titles attributed to Jesus, it doesn't strike us as that controversial. But what did Saul's Jewish audience hear when he claimed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the Christ? Both of those titles come from the Old Testament. Both refer to Israel's king that God had promised. God had told King David, "I will raise up your offspring after you and establish his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." So this king from the line of David would be considered God's son, the Son of God. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, and both words literally mean anointed one. So just as King David had been anointed, so his sons were anointed, and so this prophesied son would be God's anointed king, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. So now you've got the apostles, and you've got Saul, are preaching this simple message to their fellow Jews. Jesus is the one. He is the Son. He's the Christ. He's the King you've been waiting for. He might not be what you expected, but in reality, he's so much more. And Luke writes that this teaching was confounding to the Jews. It was confounding them, which means they found it confusing or troubling. It didn't fit their expectations, didn't fit into their paradigm. But that really should come as no surprise for us, because Jesus' own preaching had had that same effect on them. And we see this pattern over and over again in Acts, don't we? Everything that happened to Jesus is now happening to his disciples. When Jesus tried to tell the Jews who he was, they were confounded. When Saul tries to tell them who Jesus was, they are confounded again. Luke goes on to say that he was confounding them by proving that Jesus was the Christ. How did he prove that? How did he prove that Jesus was this king, this Messiah? Well, we'll get a glimpse of this quite a bit later on as we see Paul's sermons and see his preaching. But what we see there is that he proved it from the Old Testament, just as Peter has done already in Acts. Saul would walk into the synagogue, and he would sit and he would listen as the Old Testament scriptures were read aloud, as they were every day. Just like everyone else, he would sit and listen to the Psalms and the prophets and the histories. And then he would be asked to stand up and give a sermon to comment on these texts. And Paul's sermon was always the same. What you just read, what you just heard, it has happened in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. In his death, in his resurrection, his ascension. He is the fulfillment of these scriptures. And his hearers were confounded. See, they couldn't argue with Paul because it's all right there in the Scriptures, but it wasn't what they expected. It wasn't